Okay, well, thank you for the opportunity to talk here. I'm going to describe some joint work that we've been doing with Andy Binley at Lancaster University. And Andy Binley's a geophysicist, so if you have got any technical questions on geophysics afterwards, he'll be the one to address them to. So what the application of this is crop phenotyping, in particular roots. And what we want to do is to try and assess root activity by looking at the soil drying profile beneath different wheat cultivars in this case. So I'm going to talk about a brief introduction to phenotyping, describe the methods we've used and some of the approaches to inversion modelling, and also end up with some conclusions. And we'd like to thank the crop Improvement Research Club for funding this project. So these are soil moistures, and this is a cartoon taken from a paper in Journal of Experimental Botany by Wasson. What it shows is that under certain circumstances you can use soil drying profiles to estimate rooting depth. And so if you're careful about the timing of your measurements and relate them to a decent period of soil drying, then it's possible to say something about different root profiles by measuring soil moisture. So the question we have to ask is, can electromagnetic induction be a useful approach to monitor these profiles? And this application is for breeders, and breeders have to make measurements on thousands of plots, so conventional approaches to measuring soil moisture profile are not really open to them for cost and time considerations. So these are the field sites that we're using at Woburn in Bedfordshire. We have two sites, a sandy site and a clay site, and we're looking at 23 cultivars of winter wheat. And we also have a fallow plot, and these are the two sites. This is the clay site and this is the sandy site. And the plots are 7 metres long by 2 metres wide. So this is the electromagnetic induction instrument, and it's from GF Instruments in Prague, and this is Chris Watts, one of our co-authors, using it. And the instrument has a long tube that's placed on the surface of the ground, and there's a coil at one end that generates an alternating magnetic field that's perturbed by the soil environment, and we've got three other coils at set different distances that detect the magnetic field. And it can be rotated through 90 degrees to give six different measurements of conductivity for the different configurations. There's Pete Shanahan, who's also a co-author and based at Lancaster. This time the instrument's connected to a GPS. But in fact, in this work we're describing today, all the measurements were done on randomised block experiments for the purpose of comparing different wheat lines. So three coil separations, and they're allowed to look at sort of deep and shallow probing. The basis of estimating conductivity profiles with depth from electromagnetic induction measurements is that different coil separations and orientations give different cumulative sensitivity profiles with depth. So this orientation, for example, or configuration, is sensitive to conductivities at much deeper depths than these. So using these different bits of information, it's possible to conduct a depth profile of electrical conductivity. We also use electrical resistance tomography to compare with the magnetic inductance measurements. And this is an instrument which is essentially a resistance meter, and it's connected along an array of electrodes which are inserted in the ground. And this next cartoon shows how it works. So it's two electrodes provide a current, and the potential difference between the other two are measured. And this is scanned along the array. And the inversion of this data allows electrical resistance to be, an image to be constructed. And these are two sites. This is the sandy site, and this sandy site has a hard layer at a depth of about 40 centimetres, and here surface drying is really restricted or the drying of the soil by the roots is restricted to the surface layers. This is a fallow plot where there's very little drying. This site is a much heavier clay site where the rooting is much deeper, and here the drying proceeds to much greater depths. And here's a fallow plot in this soil. These plants are not real crops as an artist's impression, but however the data is real from an ERT array at experiments at Woburn. So electromagnetic data also needs to be inverted, and this is the inversion of the EMI data. And how the inversion procedure works is that there are measurements of electrical conductivity. There are six values corresponding to different probe separations and orientations. And the inversion program, which is written by Andy Binley, compares model conductivity profiles with depths, and using a three-layer model here to match the most likely conductivity distribution with depth that corresponds to the six measured values from the EMI instrument. What this slide shows is a comparison between the actually measured conductivities from the EMI probe. So these are for the six different separations and orientations against a calculated conductivity for the EMI using ERT data. So the electrical resistance tomography data has been used to predict the EMI data for these different configurations using the cumulative sensitivity model. Now for this sandy site, there's quite good agreement between the measured and predicted values, and this is the clay site where the scatter is somewhat greater. This greater scatter could be due to a variety of reasons, possibly shrinking and cracking of soils, which makes the ERT measurements a bit more tricky. What breeders need to do is they need to have a simple way of using this data. So what we've done here is compare the change in conductivity between a point early in the season and a point later on when soil has been dried by roots, the change in conductivity with depth. And the change in conductivity is proportional to change in water content. And this shows data for two different wheat cultivars, Avalon and Robicus. So these profiles are consistent with those profiles, or what would be expected for a drying profile. And this particular set of data suggests that Robicus has got deeper drying than Avalon, and that Avalon is more effective at drying out the surface layers. So these data have been fitted to a simple logistic function, which allows the EMI data to be reduced to simple parameters that can be compared with each other. Because breeders ultimately will have quite large numbers of lines to compare, so they need a simple approach to making those comparisons. This shows drying patterns inferred from EMI for these two sites. This is the sandy site, and this is the site where drying was restricted by a hard layer at around about 40 centimetres, and this is picked up by the EMI inversions, where this is the location of the hard layer. And on this particular site, the drying of the soil was primarily determined by the soil profile properties, and it's very difficult to find differences between the different cultivars. On this heavier site, you see a progressive drying pattern with time, and a wetting due to some rainfall. And this is on the heavier site, and this provides nice sets of data that can be easily fitted to logistic curves to indicate soil drying. In this bottom panel here, we plotted the M parameter, which is the point of inflection of these logistic curves, so related to drying depth, so it could be considered as a drying depth parameter. And we've plotted these against time for these different wheat cultivars. And this is Robicus, which is effective at drying soil to depth. And these triangles are for a dwarf wheat. There's an RHT3 wheat, which is an extreme dwarf. On this particular wheat, it was less effective at drying the soil. And this wetting during July corresponds to a period of senescence, where the crops stop transpiring and become senesced, ready for harvesting. So these sorts of data agree with sort of visual observations of what's going on in the field. This allows a comparison of this M parameter, the point of inflection, for a large number of the 23 lines that we looked at, and we can pick out lines which are shallow and deep-rooting. And presently, we're making more extensive comparisons between the EMI data and on Neutron Pro. In this coming season, we've got Neutron Pro access tubes in all the plots to make comparisons. And also, we're making measurements on the mapping populations with EMI to try and use these model parameters to identify QTLs, or quantitative trait loci, and compare those with known ones that's related to rooting. This shows a comparison of for the sandy site of the change in water content and the change in conductivity. So the sandy sites, there's a sort of reasonable agreement, and this was water content obtained by hand augering, and now we're at the moment using Neutron Probe data to make these comparisons. This is a comparison for the clay site, and here the agreement is not so good, and possibly due to cracking and shrinkage of the soil. And we're presently working with Andy Binley to try and improve the EMI inversion on these heavier sites to see if we can get an improved performance. And also by having access to better data on moisture profiles from Neutron Probe will give us in a better position to optimise the inversion procedures. So in conclusion, the inverted EMI data reveals sort of patterns of decreasing electrical conductivity with soil drying. And by using differences in conductivity, it's possible to relate those to changes in soil moisture patterns. And it's important to remember that these EMI data have been used within the context of a randomised block experiment, and what we're interested in comparison between different lines rather than absolute estimates of soil moisture. Although the EMI inversions have some uncertainty, there seems to be some consistency in the data of the 24 treatments in the different plots, and also they give patterns of drying that are consistent with what we might expect with crop growth and senescence. And it's also possible to infer differences between soil drying depths between different winter wheat varieties, which is what the breeders want to do, because at present, if they wanted to change such data on thousands of plots, it wouldn't really be possible. So, finally, I want to acknowledge the Crop Improvement Research Club, which funded this work, particularly Andy Binley, who is up there in the North Pole somewhere doing some other geophysical measurements for helping out with the geophysics on this project. So, thank you.